it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Goodman, and you're listening to the fantastic Cut to the Race podcast.
Hello, my name is Brian Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Brophy. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go!
Hello and welcome to the Cut to the Race podcast. There's no Ollie this episode, but I'm James, your host, temporarily, and I do have, as ever, Sam and Abby with me, I'm glad to say. Sam, how's it going?
It's all well, thank you. All well. I got confused, got caught between saying it's all good and very well, so it's all well. I'm all good. Can't complain. How are you? You make it sound like you've never done this before. You are a seasoned host of the podcast.
I suppose that is true. It's felt like a while though. I've fallen back into panelist. Those shoes fit comfortably now, but I'll do my best. And I'm very good, all well also. Thank you. How about you, Abby? how are you?
I'm all well as well. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I mean, there's only one thing to talk about this week. It's been the talk of F1 social media and the F1 media. It is Andretti. Their application has been approved by the FIA and it can now be moved on to FOM. So, well, the big question, do we think the FOM is going to grant them the access to the grid?
Yes, I do.
Definitive.
Controversial. Like, because the teams don't want to, but I think ultimately there'll be concessions made that will soften the blow, if not make it worth the existing 10 teams' while. A few days ago, Conor Chanduk said that he estimates that it will cost teams $11 million a year, adding an 11th team. So their slice of the pie, obviously, as we know, this has been the big talking point from the teams, is the dilution and what Andretti bring to the table, what any of the applicants bring to the table, which softens that blow and doesn't erode their ability to make money year on year. So 11 million. As we know, the anti-dilution fund, so the entrance fee that you have to pay, as currently stipulated in the Concord Agreement, which was last signed, the most recent version in 2020, says there's a $200 million entry fee. So that wouldn't even, when you divide that across 10 teams, cover 2 years' worth of losses. So there's obviously been talks in the past about increasing that threefold to 600 million, which would tie teams over for 5 years. So that, I think, is the most likely move or concession that we'll see. But there could be some other things in there as well. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think ultimately there'll be fairly strained and kind of protracted negotiations. But I think we will see Andretti on the grid, most likely probably from 2026. I'm not sure if they'll get there in time for 2025. And if they do increase the amount to 600 million, that negates the advantage for them getting in to 2025, because obviously that's the existing Concorde agreement, whereas 2026 is the next one. So yes, to a...
yes, is the short answer. Abby, what about you? What do you think?
I agree. I think we will see Andretti on the grid. I feel like it's been talked about so much and it was built up, their bid to come in, Michael Andretti's drive to creating a Formula One team. And yes, the existing constructors aren't too happy with another team potentially joining the grid. But out of the ones that applied to join the grid, we had obviously Lucky Sons, Hi-Tech, Rodin, Carlin. I think Formula Equal, Sam, you told me just before this that their bid didn't even get off the ground. It didn't reach the same part of the application process as the four others. And Andretti are the only successful ones. And I feel like if you would have asked me which one would have been successful, Andretti is the clear one to have that. I feel like they should be on the grid because of the power and the history that they have in motorsport. And I don't think it will be easy, but I think we will see them on the grid.
They've got gravitas, right?
Exactly.
They also are attractive to the market that F1 is courting the hardest, the United States. So there are advantages to F1. I mean, I think it's disingenuous for them to act like there aren't. I think it's a shame in the case of Hi-Tech and Carlin Rodin, or Rodin Carlin rather, that because they obviously have such close ties with the feeder series and the development of the drivers that end up in Formula One through the, you know, the support paddock through FIA Formula 3 and F2. So that would have been nice to kind of start seeing more teams across the weekend, so you know, Hi-Tech and F1, 2, 3, and same with Carlin. But Andretti have made, you know, suggestions that they would invest in those two series as well, which I think would be really positive. I'm not even going to spend much time on Lucky Sons, because I don't think you can really seriously justify having a team on the grid that is called Lucky Sons, spelled capital LKY SUNZ. Like, what is this, Cuts for Kids? Like, it just, no, I'm sorry. I'm already skeptical about AlphaTauri's new name for next season, whatever it might end up being. That for me is just, nah, you're taking the disruptor thing too far. So I'm glad that didn't get off the ground.
I think the thing with Rodin Carlin is that they're based in New Zealand, which is obviously like on the other side of the world, and compared to the other Formula One teams, they have a base in Europe. So that came into it. But one thing that was interesting for Rodin Carlin was after their bid was unsuccessful, they released a statement that outlined what their plans would have been if they were to have joined F1. And they said, "We committed to reserving one seat for a female driver." And the likelihood was that Jamie Chadwick, who's tested their car, would have got that F1 seat had their bid been successful. So there's been some controversy about that, because obviously F1 are driving females into the sport and that would have guaranteed it, but ultimately they failed to complete all the application requirements that were needed.
Could that be one of the stipulations in any agreement with Andretti, though? Could you start seeing something that seemingly spawned, first of all, from Formula Equal? Their whole premise was a 50-50 split in terms of gender, more diversity in terms of race and sexuality and so on and so forth. And we've now seen that being picked up by Carlin. We don't know if that was always there. Was that something that they've kind of inherited? And could that go a step further with Andretti? It'd be interesting to see, and it would be a really promising step. But again, will Andretti kind of be resistant to that? Is that quite a big thing to prescribe upon a team? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But James, I appreciate that we haven't actually return the question to you.
Yeah, come on, guys. Oh, he's the host. Who cares about his opinion?
But, you know, we're just doing our bit, you know.
Yeah.
Mediate. Step in.
I think they will end up on the grid. I think at this point, it would be such a bad look. I mean, the fans' opinion is clear and has been clear throughout, even when it looked, and all the noises coming out of F1 were, you know, we don't really want an 11th team. And there was lots of negative stuff coming from, obviously, the teams, as you'd expect, but even Stefano Domenicali as well. That, I feel like, has got a bit quieter. It makes sense in every aspect for the sport, I think, other than the teams getting a bit less money. I think the biggest thing for me is it's almost like it's being framed the wrong way around. They're going, oh, we're going to lose 11 million, however much. It's more, you know, they were getting too much. There is space on the grid for 13 teams officially, as per the Concord agreement that they signed. So they've been getting a bonus for the last 7 years in the absence of an 11th, 12th, 13th team. I think the mistake, maybe you could argue, they've made in the Concord agreement is I believe the top constructor gets 14% is the prize money, yeah, and lowest is 6%.
Yeah.
Everything should have been factored down for 13 teams, if that's what we're going for. That's obviously what they've chosen, even if they decided to go with 12, whatever. Make it so that that is the fixed percentage, and you base that as though there is an 11th and 12th, potentially 13th team. And if no one is there, then that money gets reinvested into the sport or it gets donated to charity. Like, everyone is not short on money, and that would stop the teams blocking any new entrants.
It's a level of entitlement, right? That's ultimately where it's born from. Is these teams are like, well, we've been getting this much for so long and so on and so forth. But again, interesting, I think, and I agree with you in terms of maybe they've been framing it wrong, but I also think the situation has shifted in the last year. You know, 2022, you've got new regulations, you've got, at least early in the season, what it looks like is shaping up to be another decent title fight, coming off the back of one of the most popular and viewed seasons in the sport's history, if not the, or, you know, regardless of how it ended and any hangover that might have been there, it got eyeballs on the sport. But 2023 is a different story. And some of the figures that have come out this week about fan engagement being down 70% and all these kind of things, I think on the one hand, yes, you could look at the teams who might now say, well, we really can't afford to add an 11th team. I think you can spin that with a name like Andretti and say, how can you afford not to add a team like Andretti? Do you not think that is going to bring revenue and attention and, you know, especially in the United States?
Yeah, who's to say that won't bring them more than 11 million per year? I mean, it's obviously not easy to quantify, but...
Exactly. It almost feels like they're opting for the risk-averse strategy here. They're not kind of going, you know what, yeah, we might lose out a little bit, but we could gain a lot more. So, yeah, I don't know. I think things have shifted. So maybe that accounts for the slightly quieter rejection or kind of resistance to an 11th team that we're starting to see from some of the teams.
I was going to say, I was actually going to bring up the fall in social engagement and that by the fans of F1 this year compared to last year, because the general consensus is that it is less exciting because Max Verstappen and Red Bull have been so dominant, which obviously we have discussed in previous episodes. So with F1 wanting to expand into America, they now have three races in America: Miami, Kota, and Las Vegas. They are trying to grow the market there. So having a name like Andretti that have Mario Andretti as part of the family, Michael Andretti at the helm, they're in IndyCar, they've been in other aspects, other series of motorsport, I don't really see any negatives or anything that would go, okay, so we shouldn't add Andretti to the grid. To me, it all seems quite positive. Yes, the other teams might lose out on some money and that, but having an 11th team, I think, can only benefit the sport and help it grow.
Do you think it's almost this kind of protectionist stance from F1, born from a kind of elitism in how F1 is perceived, the pinnacle of motorsport? Do you think there's maybe a concern that what if this IndyCar team comes in and does well? What if these IndyCar drivers come in and do well? Does that shatter that illusion for them? Because I don't think you can argue at this stage that F1 produces better racing. But what if Colton Herter comes into F1 in an Andretti and starts ruffling the feathers of the establishment?
I don't think it's that, personally.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
It's a fair point. A fair hypothesis. I don't think so. I don't think they'd be that wary. That sounds a bit like BAR, like, you know, we're going to win our first race kind of thing. Like, Andretti are very established in motorsport and they've done very well. I mean, they've done well in Formula E now as well, albeit, you know, with BMW at points. But I would be amazed if they came in and were even in the top half. That would be an astonishing achievement. That's just how F1 is. You know, I think they could work up to being a very decent team. Haas had an amazing start, thanks largely to their ties with Ferrari. They were, I mean, their best ever season was what, their second season, I think, maybe third. It's been kind of downhill since then. I don't think that's what the F1 teams are wary of. I think it's purely financial. And yeah, it's... What other sports are there where the teams get to decide if another team joins? I can't think of a single one.
Well, this is the interesting thing, because I can't remember all the specifics of it, but at the British Grand Prix, this came up and it was Toto Wolff, Fred Vasseur, and I forget who, one of the other team principals in the first group of team principals in the press conference on Thursday, I think it was. And Toto Wolff was trying to draw upon all these other sports that, oh, you couldn't just add another team, you couldn't do that, you couldn't do this. And the point that some of the journalists were kind of combating and kind of pushing back and saying, I think you've maybe misunderstood the kind of the hierarchy and the structure of these leagues, where actually a league can say, we're expanding. And there might be some leagues in America, say, where you have to get unanimous or even a majority vote from the other teams. But potentially there are leagues out there where, say, the NFL, for example, I don't know if it is the NFL, could just say, you know what, we're expanding into a new market. Deal with it. We're adding a 33rd team. So Toto Wolff was kind of towing that line. And there was some pushback from it. So I don't know. Maybe one of our supporters can let us know, because maybe I should have looked into this before, but I didn't know you were going to take it there, James.
As someone who works directly with Liga, the French league, they removed two teams for this season. Last year it was 20 and they made it 18. Obviously that's the opposite way around, but equally, how would the teams feel if they were like, yeah, actually we're only going to have 9 next year, so one of you gets demoted to F2. Sorry, but that's just the way it is, and you deal with it because you don't make the rules. The governing bodies have their reasons for doing things, and normally it's the bigger picture of the health of the sport.
It's a perfectly fair point. And this is the thing, F1 is very, very unique in its structure. And there are problems that arise from that. And yes, that they are obviously designed to be checks and balances on how everything operates, and so you don't get taken down a path that's too far one way or the other. But to pivot slightly in terms of what we've been talking about, I think... looking at this process and seeing that Andretti being the only team that have been let through by the FIA onto the next stage, it actually builds my confidence in the FIA.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, you know what? They're taking this seriously. They're really considering this. They've looked at these other bids and they've gone, I'm sorry, yes, there's space for a 12th team potentially. Obviously, some circuits decide to say, well, we don't have the garages, so on and so forth. I mean, F1 has traditionally always had more than 10 garages, so I don't know what happened to the extra ones, but it makes me feel like, you know what, actually they're not just kind of going, you know, this is our, you know, we want more teams. Yeah, all of you, you know, three of you can go through Hi-Tech and Carlin, for example. There seems to be some real integrity to that process. So hopefully F1, then in response, at least give Andretti a fair trial.
Yeah, I think it forces the hand a bit of FOM and F1. Like, they're not going, yeah, sure, you guys go through, and watering down the quality of the teams, with no disrespect to Ronan Carlin and Hi-Tech and so forth. Some disrespect to Lucky Tons, if I'm honest. But I think...
yeah, fair.
It's very clear. Like, look, here is Andretti. The whole world knows that this team is ready for F1. They have the backing. They have the ties now with Cadillac, a major player in the automotive industry. And it's now, here you go, FOM, F1, it's on you. Kind of do the right thing. What do you think, Abby?
I think it definitely conveys the image that the FIA are taking this seriously. Obviously, they had a rigorous application process that tested sporting and technical abilities, the ability to raise and maintain sufficient funding, and then sustainability aspect of the teams as well. And now that they've approved Andretti, originally I thought, because obviously two teams were allowed to be approved, I thought we would see two. So it is interesting that we have only seen one, but it does make sense because obviously, like you say, you don't just want them to go, okay, Ronan Carlin, Hi-Tech, you're established in the junior series. Well, let's just put you into F1 then as well. It makes sense that they've looked at it all, gone, okay, Andretti, we approve you. Now go on to F1 and FOM. And Formula One's response to the FIA statement of the approval of Andretti was very vague, as it should be. They shouldn't give anything away at the moment, but I do think it's a serious matter and it is being taken seriously. And I think we will see Andretti on the grid. And I'm excited to see Andretti on the grid because since I started watching F1, it's only been 10 teams. So I'd like to see 11.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So final question. What do you guys think? We touched on it earlier. What do we think Andretti can achieve? Let's say they do join in 2026 definitively. They'd have a blank canvas. You know, we've seen what Mercedes did with that blank canvas since 2014, obviously with the engine regulations, a bit different here, but it would help them in terms of, yeah, having a level playing field with the rest of the teams. What do you expect them to do in 2026 and in, say, the 5 to 10 years after that? I'll start with you, Abby.
I think, like you say, having the new regulations, it will be a bit more like a blank canvas. And that will definitely help them because everyone will be in the same spot of having these new rules and regulations and having to adapt them into the way that they want their car to be. I think, obviously, Michael Andretti has already admitted that they've started trying to build this F1 team, trying to get personnel to, obviously, they hadn't been approved yet, but now that they are, they're trying to build it up already. And I think that just shows the drive and motivation behind the team, which I think we've seen in Aston Martin in the last couple of years, which they've obviously improved with. Obviously, they've gone downhill for the second half of this season. But in the first year, they'll be in the midfield, I'd say. A bit like Williams this year at the moment, I'd say 6th or 7th in the constructors for Andretti. In the first 5 to 10 years, they could potentially be a championship winning team, but I think that's aiming a bit too high. I'd say a race winning team in the first 5 to 10 years. So I have a good feeling about them joining the grid.
I like the optimism. I like the belief. Sam, do you share that optimism and belief, or are you an old fan who's seen so many teams gone? You're all embittered and pessimistic.
More the latter than the former, if I'm honest. I think they'll be around about, kind of vying around about the kind of the Audi mark, so the Alfa Romeo mark. So ninth, tenth, maybe fighting for eighth. I think that kind of sixth, seventh is maybe too optimistic, at least for a first season. We know that running a team out of America is particularly difficult. I actually think Haas could end up being one of the big losers of Andretti joining, because I think there'll be a loss of resources, a lot of money, and it'll be the antithesis in that sense.
Awful.
And I know, terrible. I'm very, very sorry. But I think that will cause problems for Haas, because I think they'll potentially see a lot of staff moving, jumping ships and going to Andretti, because it'll be a bigger operation and with more investment. But that's a side point. I think as James Vowles said earlier in this year, this kind of whole five-year plan thing, you see teams get so caught up into it. And it's always the teams that get caught up in these five-year plans, like Alpine, that end up missing those marks. Because, I don't know, it's obviously more correlation and causation, right? But I think that they'll be fighting for podiums within 5 years, or that could be a fair aim to get, you know, one or two podiums maybe within 5 years. Within 10 years, I think, I this is where I do agree with Abby, that's when you need to be looking at maybe fighting for race wins. But I think getting into that kind of that big three is incredibly tough. And Aston Martin looked very promising at the start of the year. That's been taken over by McLaren, that mantle, and that, you know, they've handed the torch over almost to McLaren. And it's, you know, and so I think that actually is more rare than maybe we start to think it is, because we've seen it happen a couple of times this season. I think it would be, they would be surpassing expectations to deliver anything more than that. And also, I mean, slight sidebar, isn't it fascinating how McLaren act like they're not a multi-championship team historically? And they talk about, yeah, getting our first win. It's so bizarre. Yeah. But anyway, that's a total side point.
For another show.
So I think they can get there, but I think it's a long and difficult road to get to the place where you're consistently fighting for podiums, race wins.
I think I mostly agree with, everything Sam has said there. Not that I disagree with what Abby has said. I think you, maybe you've been a little more optimistic than us grumpy old men that Sam and I are. I think I agree, like eighth, ninth. I don't think they'll come in and just be flat last. I think, similar to Haas, they'll come in and be competitive in that kind of lower midfield, kind of region, which at the moment is pretty much four to five teams, and there is no clear worst team. If that's still the case in 2 to 3 years, then I think they'll join that. And long term, podiums in maybe, five, not regular maybe, but that upper midfield, and then 10 years or so, we'll see, maybe competing for victories. I mean, 10 years after they join, I will have a teenage son. So that is a long, long way away. Hopefully, I think they'd be hoping to be challenging for race wins by then. But we'll just have to wait a long time and see. So in the short term, hopefully we'll get an answer from FOM, not in the too distant future, as to whether they will be on the grid at all and whether these predictions will even come to pass in the slightest. I look forward to finding that out, and I look forward to speaking to you guys on the race review in a few days' time after Qatar. One line prediction from each of you. Abby, you first.
Something unexpected will happen.
Okay. That's, I'm going to say, hedging your bets pretty seriously. Something unexpected will happen. A real hot take from Abby Bathurst there. Sam, have you got any other wild takes like that for me?
A hot take for Qatar. We're going to have another surprise podium a la Fernando Alonso 2021. I think we're going to see maybe a Williams podium. or yeah, something like that. Because I'm looking up the rest of the order, and actually all the other teams have got podiums this season. Yeah. So I'm going to say there'll be a new podium finisher this in Qatar.
Okay. Lance Stroll, maybe. You know, is the only member of that top six teams that hasn't got one. Could be. Or a Williams. I mean, I assume you'd be thinking Alex Albon, but maybe Logan Sargeant could go his first points and his first podium in the same race.
I mean, I've been saying that they should stick with him. So
yeah, you wrote an article about it. Highly recommend. Do go and check that out at formulanerds.com, as we would always say, and all the other latest news that you could want. But yeah, until we are back to discuss those hot takes, Abby, Sam, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us and for doing a wonderful job at hosting.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's almost like you've done it before.
Well, yes, the glove still fits. Is that even the saying? The glove. If the glove fits, it's all gone a bit OJ. I'm going to bail out of it there. That's the end of this show. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.